Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. Oil prices have seen a fair amount of volatility over the past 20 years. You know, prices climbed from a low of about $11 a barrel in December of 1998 to a high of almost $134 a barrel in 2008. Then it fell sharply to $34 a barrel in 2009 and then rose again to $110 a barrel in 2011. And then it got pounded down to its current level of about $46 per barrel now. So, you know, that's been quite a ride. But as a recent CNBC article by Patty Dom suggests, don't expect oil to rise up again anytime soon, because she points out five fundamental factors at play that could still take oil lower to what she calls a new tipping point. That's because the negative factors that have pounded oil prices over the past year continue to hang over the market, with producers still pumping an extra 2 million barrels per day over the daily demands of the market. And you know, as Economics 101 tells us, when supply strongly exceeds demand, prices must fall. But one of the chief wild cards that could send oil to new lows is Iran, and the uncertainty about when and how fast it can bring crude back to the market now that Iran has agreed to terms of a new nuclear deal with six leading nations, including the U.S. So here's five key catalysts that could drive oil prices lower, or at the very least, keep them low for a long time. As I mentioned, Iran. The U.S. and five other nations agreed in July of 2015 to lift sanctions against Iran in return for curbs on its nuclear program. And about 2 weeks back, on October 18th, the agreement was formalized based on Iran's meeting its commitments to the deal. Those sanctions included a ban on Iran's oil exports, which gravely hurt Iran's economy. So now, with the end in sight for sanctions, Iran is desperate to get its oil money flowing again and wants to flood the market with its oil. Shortly after the agreement was reached, an Iranian official said the country had already secured buyers from Europe and Asia for more than 500,000 barrels per day in new exports once the sanctions are lifted. So Iranian oil could well come to the market by the end of year 2015 and add to the existing surplus. And that's going to adversely impact the price of oil, taking it still lower in anticipation, with oil possibly hitting bottom later this year or in the first quarter of 2016. Now, I will note that it is possible that the market's already pricing in Iran's participation in the oil market, so we really can't say for sure whether oil is going to go down much lower because of it. Another reason that oil prices will remain weak is bulging inventory levels. That's a thorny issue for the market. Recent U.S. government data showed an 8 million barrel surge in crude inventories, with a record high 247 million barrels now stockpiled in the Gulf Coast alone. So analysts are also watching the buildup of refined products, which will only increase when refinery maintenance season ends in the next couple of weeks. Refining capacity has been added around the globe. Saudi Arabia, for instance, shipped less crude in August, but more refined oil products. The U.S. has also increased refined product exports and is a net exporter of more than 2 million barrels a day. So what all this means is it's good news for consumers. This big surplus of crude oil will turn into a surplus of gasoline and diesel, and that should mean lower prices at the pump, more consumer savings, and perhaps cheaper airfares. Another reason is that U.S. shale production, you know, fracking and the like, has been very resilient despite lower prices. So the U.S. oil industry, and now I understand Saudi Arabia, is also fracking and is also producing at a very high rate. And all of OPEC vowed last fall to continue producing and to allow the market to set prices in a very oversupplied world, a factor they were hoping would curb the non-OPEC production. But despite the shuttering of rigs, U.S. production has not fallen that much. Analysts had been expecting some companies to lose funding to continue operations, but it seems the industry is doing better than expected and U.S. production may not roll over like people think. I think there's less rigs producing oil, but they're being more efficient and still producing a high amount. Eventually, falling oil prices will impact the oil industry, making wells unprofitable at different price levels depending on what technology they're using. And that will impact and investment and jobs in the energy sector, which could be a drag on the U.S. economy while also keeping prices low and keeping the beast of inflation at bay. So you see this low oil prices as a double-edged sword. On the one hand, it could be a drag on the economy, but on the other hand, it can give consumers more money in their pocket, drive more spending on the consumer level, and of course, consumers make up a very large portion of our GDP. But also here, while the U.S. is showing resiliency, Russia and Saudi Arabia, which are the world's biggest oil producers, and both of them have taken a full-throttle approach to lower prices in an effort to gain or hold market share. Saudi Arabia led OPEC in its plan to use market pricing as a weapon to slow overproduction, and oil analysts see little chance of a change in policy, which is adding further downward pressure on prices. But the strain of low prices is wearing on both Russia and Saudi Arabia, forcing those countries to shield the blow by issuing more debt. But even they won't be able to sustain production in a low-price environment forever. I think this is kind of a game of chicken, if you ask me. So prices down the road could rebound, but it doesn't look like it's going to happen anytime soon. And then lastly, there's weakening global demand for oil. So as oversupply is hitting the world market, at the same time, the demand from the emerging world and China is dampening. You know, China's reported a GDP of 6.9% in the third quarter, just below the previous quarter's 7%. But a lot of people don't really believe those numbers, and there are worries about Chinese growth and demand, and that has also put pressure on prices. The World Bank expects oil prices to remain weak through next year, and it cut its expectations for crude. The bank said Iran's return to the market will dent oil prices, but it also noted weak global growth. So besides overproduction, high inventories, and weak demand, another factor that could weigh on prices are speculative investors who are trying to profit from all this, and they could slam oil prices once Iran brings oil back into the market. So the good news for most of us is that gasoline prices could head lower, and heating bills could fall for those that live in colder parts of the U.S. Falling gasoline prices also have a ripple effect by lowering transportation costs, which in turn could reduce the price we all pay for food and other retail items. This lowering of retail prices means inflation would likely stay low and could give the Federal Reserve one more reason to hold off on raising interest rates. And that's good news because it will hold down our borrowing costs on everything from a mortgage to the financing costs for things like cars and appliances and the like. So as consumers, low oil prices for the foreseeable future is mostly good news, of course, unless your job is in the energy sector.
You're listening to On the Money with Certified Financial Planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.